This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes, station KUWS. The Martin and McKenna Show is on the air. It's Wednesday night, November 6, 1940. Jack McKenna saying, "The voters have spoken." Lou Martin is standing by with the election returns. This is our presidential show. We'll meet a Civil War veteran from Iron River who shook hands with Abe Lincoln. And we'll have the best music from the 30s and the 1940 hit parade.
I'm looking forward to talking to the Civil War vet. I'm sure that he'll have an amazing story to tell.
The news is sponsored by Siegel Brothers. Siegel Brothers with warm winter union suits. Hot dog. 50% wool. Just $2.45 a pair. Siegel Brothers at 1120 Tower Avenue since 1890. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The third-term tradition is smashed as Franklin Delano Roosevelt sweeps the electoral vote 449 to Wendell Willkie's 82. We begin our news report with Lyle C. Wilson in Washington.
President Franklin Roosevelt and Wendell Willkie exchanged personal good wishes today as the election sweep ended the two-term tradition. Only 9 of the 48 states went for Willkie, even though the popular vote was the closest of FDR's presidential career. He beat Alf Landon by 10 million votes in 1936, but will win this election by about 3.5 million votes. Mr. Roosevelt's running mate, Henry Wallace, also exchanged cordial telegrams with Oregon Senator Charles McNary, Mr. Willkie's running mate. Throughout election night, Mr. Willkie watched the president's vote totals grow, but clung grimly to the hope of a turnaround. He retired with the announcement that he would hold off saying anything until today. As is his tradition, Mr. Roosevelt spent the evening at his Hyde Park home, as he did in 1932 and 1936. Also, as in years past, happy neighbors gathered on his lawn and serenaded him with bugles and drums. Mr. Roosevelt also saw his party keep control of both the House and Senate, while the opposition Republicans picked up a total of 2 seats. The Republicans had hoped to gain 60 to 80 seats. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is your man in Washington, Ray Tucker, with the World Whirligig. We have witnessed a curious phenomenon in the closing hours of the most bitter presidential race since the Hoover-Smith race of 1928. Republicans and Democrats, old dealers and new dealers, came closer to friendship and understanding after the polls closed. They indulged in the good old American custom of kissing and making up. Hard-boiled GOPers conceded the sincerity and honesty of the opposition from the president down. They recognized his right to defend the programs he began. In fact, both Willkie and Roosevelt weren't far apart on many of the issues, especially the war in Europe. In 1928, Governor Al Smith and President-elect Herbert Hoover put aside bitterness and proved how two people can put up a good fight, then forget and work together. In view of this closing of the ranks, it wouldn't surprise me to see Mr. Willkie and Mr. Roosevelt wrap their arms around each other's shoulders and sing, "God Bless America." In Washington, with the World Whirligig, this is Ray Tucker.
Republican Governor Julius Heil won a second two-year term by the narrowest of margins. Governor Heil's re-election was in doubt even this morning, but late returns put him over the top of progressive Orland Loomis. With 3,000 precincts reporting, Mr. Heil is ahead by less than 12,000 votes. That's a difference of just 3 votes a precinct. Democrat and former Governor Francis McGovern was far behind. Republican Walter Goodland was elected lieutenant governor. While President Roosevelt narrowly won Minnesota, Republican Governor Harold Stassen was returned to office for a second term. Mr. Stassen recorded 270,000 votes to farmer laborite Hjalmar Peterson's 206,000 and Democrat Ed Murphy's 55,000. Republican U.S. Senator Henrik Schibsted was reelected to a fourth term. He beat former farmer laborite Governor Elmer Benson. Wisconsin's 10th District Progressive Congressman Barney Gehrman of Mellon easily defeated Republican P. Van Nostrand of Merrill and Democrat John Green of Superior. And a smashing victory for the progressives as U.S. Senator Robert La Follette was reelected to a third term. Young Bob defeated Republican Fred Claussen of Oregon in a hard-fought battle. The 45-year-old La Follette saw his lead seesaw as Republican votes piled up, almost ending his 15 years in the United States Senate. But he squeezed a large majority of 50,000 votes from industrial Milwaukee to win. The war news from Europe is surprisingly quiet, although the German High Command says its submarine blockade of Britain is squeezing the English to the breaking point. They report sinking 7 million tons of shipping since the outbreak of the war, more than 1 million of that in the last 2 months alone. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Brother Lou. You know, these are cold days and nights we have coming up now, this time of year, especially for those folks who have to work outdoors. That's no fun when it's 20 below. Work clothes, that's what you need, good work clothes. You get the better kind at Siegel Brothers, Superior, Wisconsin, on Tower Avenue. Union suits, for example, $2.45 a piece. You know, that's warmth from head to foot. Union suits for $1.95, and so it goes, folks. $3.49 for some for a dollar. Oh, yeah. Jackets, heavy, all wool, just $3.95. They used to be around $4. Jackets for $5.95, too, though. The double-back stag jacket. That's Siegel Brothers, folks. Superior, Wisconsin, since 1890. That's a long time ago.
We have all the local election returns now, Jack. It includes some upset victories. In the hotly contested race for Douglas County Sheriff, incumbent Frank Carlson topped a field of four. The Progressive Party Sheriff bested former Sheriff and Republican Art Sedin, as well as independent Kitchener Thompson and Democrat Mike Bartlemy.
I wonder if that'll affect their bowling team, Lou.
It's just like the presidential race. It's always good to keep things cordial. The Progressive Party did well in this election. District Attorney Thomas Foley defeated Republican challenger Claude Cooper. The Douglas County will be represented by the Progressive Party in Madison. Assemblyman Elmer Peterson and Frank Sheehan were reelected. Ashland County has a new sheriff. Current Undersheriff Elmer Hennell and the Progressive Party will take over for Lyle Freeman, who served his maximum 2 years in office. But the race was so close, Republican challenger Julius Scherfinski is asking for a recount. Mr. Hennell received 4,346 votes, while Mr. Scherfinski got 4,312 votes, a margin of just 34 votes. Washburn County also has a new sheriff. Frank Pogorny defeated Mrs. Gladys Willis in a close race. Mrs. Willis is the wife of the outgoing sheriff, who also has served his limit. In Bayfield County, Sheriff Jelmer Frostman wasn't eligible to run for a third term, so his undersheriff, Alvin Gidloff, he won. He defeated Progressive Harry Kennedy of Iron River. But the big upset came in Bayfield County, where Progressive incumbent District Attorney Walter Norland was bested by Republican Elizabeth Hawks. You might recall that Mr. Norland failed to get a conviction in a slot machine case earlier this year. Ms. Hawks was the attorney who won that case, and Mr. Kennedy was the chief witness for the prosecution. We've just learned that the longtime superintendent of schools, William Davies, is resigning his post. With the exclusive story, here's KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson.
We've just got word from Madison that the State Board of Normal School Regents has appointed Mr. Davies as president of the Eau Claire State Teachers College. The 47-year-old Mr. Davies began as superintendent here in 1930, 10 years ago. I just got off the telephone with him. He says he'll stay on until the first of the year. He says his proudest achievement is with the vocational school and its director, Rudolph Hansen. He says they were able to end the competition between high schools and the vocational school and instead work together to provide education for students who can't go to college. He also says he's proud of the Nelson Dewey and Itasca schools, which were built in the 1930s. And he's proud of his philosophy. It's always been just to treat every student as an individual and not just a member of a class. Mr. Davies says he'll return here often, keeping a cabin on Lake Minnising, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. And finally, Jack, the days of operators connecting your telephone to another number is numbered.
Jeez, and I only missed one payment.
Well, not you personally. I mean everybody. Next year, Wisconsin Telephone Company will spend $600,000 to completely rebuild its Superior telephone system. Company manager M.M. Calhoun says the new equipment will be a dial system.
This better not be hard.
Dial telephones are the wave of the future. Many cities already have them. Mr. Calhoun says Milwaukee, Eau Claire, and Kenosha are already converting to dial telephones.
So when I call the operator to ask for a connection, I'll have to do what?
You won't need an operator unless it's for information or long distance. You simply dial the number from your telephone.
But my phone doesn't dial.
Well, we'll all have to get a new dial telephone.
And then what?
You simply dial your new phone.
You can't use the word you're trying to define. To define that word.
What now?
I'm asking you about dialing, and you use the word dial to tell me how to dial.
Well, you see, you take your finger, you put it in a hole, and then you turn the dial. I'll get you a dial telephone and show you and all of our listeners.
That'll go well over the radio. Is that it?
That's enough. Yes.
Lou Martin, folks, the best doggone dialing dude in the newsroom. Our forecast for this historic November the 6th, 1940, is for a little rain or mix of snow, and I think it's gotten in my throat, folks. Tonight's low should be around, 30 degrees, with a high tomorrow of 50. It'll get real nice later this week, friends. Look forward to an Indian summer. Now, on with the good time music from the 1938 hit parade. Here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra with Lilton Martha Tilton and I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that number from 1938. Benny Goodman was singing by Lilton Martha Tilton, and I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart on Station KUWS. I've got a big announcement, friends. Duke Ellington and his famous orchestra will be in Duluth this Friday. Duke Ellington will be performing at the Duluth Armory at 8 o'clock. Get your tickets at Russell Brothers. And here's another big announcement. This is from my favorite, the Black Cat Cafe. Get a complete turkey dinner, potatoes, stuffing, the works for just 45 cents. That's the Black Cat Cafe with 24-hour service and the only cook in town who puts salt in the coffee at 915 Tower Avenue in Superior. I've got to find a long song here so I can dash out there and get one of those turkey dinners. So let's listen to the singing of Jack Leonard with Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. This is the hit from last year, 1939. Our Love on the Martin and McKenna Show. That's the fine vocal of Jack Leonard with Tommy Dorsey and Our Love on the Martin and McKenna Show. Now let's turn to the sports page, friends. Say hello to Bill Kirby, sitting in for Rapid Ray. Hiya, Bill. Boy, I can't wait until Lou talks to that Civil War veteran from Iron River. You know, the guy who shook Abe Lincoln's hand. What an honor.
Hey, if he didn't wash his hand after that, it'd be pretty dirty by now. Thanks, Jack. Good evening, sports kids. The baseball writers have made their decision and voted for the 1940 Most Valuable Player. If you ask this commentator, they picked the right man. Detroit Tigers left fielder Hank Greenberg got the nod, as well he should have. What a season! He slammed 41 homers, drove in 150 runs, and hit .340 to boot. Now, those are MVP numbers. But the big guy did more than that, friends. He risked his career this year by shifting from first base to left field for the good of the team. And this isn't the first time Greenberg's won the honor. He was the American League MVP in 1935, too. But the competition this year was stiff. I mean, it's pretty hard to argue that Bullet Bob Feller wasn't pretty valuable, too. After all, young Bob did win 27 games for the Tribe this year. Last year's winner was Joe DiMaggio. The Yankees center fielder came in third in the voting. Tigers pitching ace Buck Newsom was fourth after winning 21 games, followed by the Indians' Lou Boudreau, the Red Sox' Jimmy Fox, and Tigers' schoolboy Rowe and Rudy York. That's a lot of valuable players from the Indians and Tigers. Big Train Walter Johnson didn't lose many games when he pitched, but the former Washington Senator's effort to get back to Capitol Hill failed in his first attempt. Republican Walter Johnson lost to Democratic Congressman William Byron yesterday. And no one has any strikes to spare in Superior's Ladies League. Mrs. Goldie is tops with a 146 average. The top team is Willetco's, followed by the Pickwick, Russell Creamery, Dr. Pepper, Royal Crown Cola, and Northern Beer. As for the men's Ready Kilowatt League from Superior Water, Light, and Power Company, first place is held by, get a load of these names, the Gassers, followed by the Meter Readers, the Old Fossils, the Ohm Bugs, Hot Sticks, and the H2Os. This is Bill Kirby, and that, folks, is the sports.
I wonder how the Old Fossils and the Gassers get along. I bet nobody likes to bowl against the Hot Sticks.
Yeah, they sound kind of cocky.
And speaking of Old Fossils, Lou Martin has one right after we hear from, by request, Benny Goodman and his orchestra with Harry James and Life Goes to a Party on the Martin and McKenna Show here on Station KUWS. By listener request, that's the playing of Harry James with Benny Goodman and his orchestra, and Life Goes to a Party on Station KUWS. Now, Lou Martin is in with a very special guest.
I heard that Old Fossil crack, Bub. See how you look when you're 100 years old.
It's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Edward Ross of Iron River, who turned 100 years old in September. Thanks for making the trip here.
I still get around. I'm Bayfield County's oldest veteran, you know. I was one of the Grand Army of the Republic, one of the Boys in Blue.
You must have some stirring memories of that horrible conflagration.
Huh? I don't need no congratulations, but I do have some things to say into this here, doohickey.
That's fine.
If it's yours, then why are you speaking into that doohickey?
He sure heard my Old Fossil crack. Maybe if you criticize him, he'll hear you.
It's that whippersnapper blabbering again.
Yes, but he's our whippersnapper. I understand that you fought at Gettysburg, Mr. Ross.
I can't remember a thing. My mind's shot these days.
Oh, this should be a captivating interview.
Can't be any worse than Piddles the Clown.
As I said, my mind is awfully poor lately. Let's see now. I enlisted in 62. I was 22 years old then. When you're 22 years old, you don't think about getting killed. Father didn't know about it till after I joined. I remember, I just had to tell the folks. I tried all evening to tell them. When I got to the door to leave, I turned and said, "Dad, I got something to tell you." He said, "What is it, Bucky?" He always called me Bucky.
Well, that's better than old Fossil.
I told him I enlisted. He said, "No." I said, "Yes." And he stepped back and said, "Son, you've got a hard time ahead of you." And he bade me goodbye.
Too bad his memory's so bad. We could use a little more detail.
Is it true that you were reported killed at Gettysburg?
True as the day is long. It was when I was taken prisoner near Culp's Hill. It was a hard battle. I was gone from my regiment for 4 days. The Rebs, they disarmed me. But I got my gun back. Skipped past the guard and got away. It wasn't easy getting back through the rebel lines, but I did. But my own picket, that's what we call the guard, wouldn't let me through our own lines. So I climbed a tree and waited for the guard to change. It was Herb Miller. I said, "Herb Miller, this was Edward A. Ross." But he said, "I don't know you." See, he thought I was guilt. But then he got a closer look at me and let me through.
You must have seen some terrible things.
I saw history is what I saw, young man. I saw General Stonewall Jackson get shot, the very shot that ended his life. We were all watching on a skirmish line about 2 blocks away. I saw him ride out on a gray horse between 4 trees. Suddenly, he put his hand over his right breast. His men came running to help him off his horse. Yes, sir, I saw Stonewall Jackson's dying moments. And I was with Lieutenant Owen at Lookout Mountain when he was killed. And I met General Ulysses S. Grant. I knew him well.
And you shook President Lincoln's hand?
And I shook old Abe Lincoln's hand. It was after Gettysburg. He was a good man. We'd all be better off if he lived to be 100. Yes, sir.
I must say, Mr. Ross, you have a remarkable memory.
Just don't ask me what I had for lunch. I couldn't tell you that. But I got enough spit and fire in me to smack that whippersnapper if he calls me an old fossil again.
Oh, sorry about that, Mr. Ross. You know, I was wondering if you'd tell us what your secret to growing old is. For example, do you eat lots of pickled herring and onion sandwiches or something?
Not that anyone would want to live a life like that.
2 secrets to long life. Don't worry about dying. And don't get shot in Civil War. You see, I can be a whippersnapper myself. See ya, sonny!
Mr. Edward Ross of Iron River, Civil War veteran of Gettysburg.
Hey, bub, you got that new swinging sound from Artie Shaw? The one that Helen Forrest sings?
You like swing? Why, sure I've got it. You mean, Do I Love You with Artie Shaw by request?
From an old fossil.
Hey, that's Artie Shaw with a vocal by Helen Forrest and Do I Love You by request. And I don't think I've ever had a request from a genuine Civil War veteran before. Hey, Lewis, what do you think the secret to a long life is?
Companionship of a lady.
You old romantic son of a gun. I still think the pickled herring, though, and onion sandwiches keep you well preserved.
Pickled herring and onion sandwiches will cut down your chances of having companionship with a lady.
Uh-oh. Stay tuned, folks. Lots on the air for you tonight. Coming up is Hedda Hopper with the Hollywood News, then Amos and Andy, Mr. District Attorney, and the NBC Dance Orchestra. And we'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is, and the old fossils don't beat up the whippersnappers. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing you, one and all, a good night, and good luck, Mr. Roosevelt.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances by John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.